Corona and Polly both looked at me with sad eyes. Unhi merely bowed in my direction, her black cap of hair bobbing. Irida dipped her chin to her chest in greeting, a gesture that made her look remarkably nun-like in her burqa. Mrs. Dufour, pretty in that fragile way only elderly women can be, smiled at me, and it lit up her eyes. She leaned over toward my mother and said, "Giselle, your daughter is as pretty as Glenda the Good Witch." My mother didn't respond, but I warmed even more to Mrs. Dufour. Calla waved at me without enthusiasm, revealing the cross-hatched scars on her wrist. And Dahlia looked down her prominent nose at me. "You're one of us now, hmm? Like mother, like daughter." She handed me her plate and a bundle of silverware. "It's only temporary," I replied. Several of them mumbled, "Famous last words." One of the kitchen workers, a swollen, middle-aged woman, arrived with a cart. She set out two family-style bowls of salad and a plate of individually wrapped hoagies. Mrs. Dufour reached for a sandwich with a tremulous hand. "The Wizard of Oz is a classic, you know. It has the answers to all life's questions." I watched as Corona, my mother's self-proclaimed lady's maid, opened a half sandwich for my mother and grabbed a handful of salad that she transferred onto a plate for her. Calla said, "That was my father's favorite movie. We watched it every year on his birthday. He'd make special finger food, fish sticks, tater tots, and crackers with corn relish. And we'd sit in front of the television and sing all the songs. He's dead now." The table became a chaotic dance of arms and hands reaching for salad, sandwiches, condiments, and spices. "That movie," Corona commented, "scared the crap out of me when I was little. I had nightmares about the witch on the bicycle in the tornado." She dun-da-dun-da-dun-dunned the tune. With a disgusted expression, Unhi asked, "Did you know that Auntie Em killed herself? She took an overdose of pills and put a plastic bag over her head." As Polly reached for a helping of salad, she said, "Auntie Em wasn't the one on the bicycle." "I didn't say she was," Dahlia chimed in. "Judy Garland tried to gag herself several times but failed. They say she died of an accidental drug overdose. Whatever."
"And why does it matter?" Calla asked. "She's dead. Dead is dead. Don't matter how you got there."
"Sst!" Polly made a face, indicating me with a roll of her eyes.
"Maybe talk about something else?"
"Why?"
Corona pointed her fork at me.
"The Oracle died of diabetes. What's that about?"
"The Oracle?"
Mrs. Dufour sounded confused.
"You mean the wizard, dear?"
Polly sighed in frustration.
"She means the Oracle from the Matrix."
She turned over the ketchup bottle and squeezed a fat dollop onto her plate.
"Yeah."
Pixie-faced Corona grabbed a handful of salad for herself.
"Can you imagine knowing you're going to die before it happens? I don't think I'd want that."
"Come on,"
Unhi snorted.
"The Oracle could see the future. The actress couldn't."
"How do you know she couldn't?"
Corona challenged the other woman.
"Point taken."
My mother ate with mechanical movements, and I was certain she wasn't enjoying her food. Her gaze remained distant. Calla said, "I suppose you could say the Matrix is the Wizard of Oz for our generation."
"I think they're both stupid."
Dahlia looked around the table, waiting for anyone to disagree with her. I couldn't keep up with them. They had a rhythm they'd developed over years of meals together. I ate in silence.